Howdy, church family. Good morning. Thank God for Mr. Samson's rendition of He's Intentional. So appropriate for this time, so appropriate that all things work together for good. If we turn our attention to God's word in Luke chapter 11, and we're going to be reading from verse 5 to verse 13. That's Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" Verse 13 says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Brethren, this is God's word, and may it be used for the edification for your souls.
Amen. Hello again. Let me get my paper together here. The first time I heard this scripture, my thought was, how selfish. I mean, all this guy got to do is get up, go to the kitchen, pick up the loaf of bread, and stick your hand out the door. You don't even have to change your clothes, right? Stick your hand out the door, here you go, and go back to sleep. But then what I didn't know was the sleeping arrangements. Because traditionally, in this part of the world, the houses were basically one-room houses. And sleeping arrangements were such that there would be a mat that's laid in the living room from the door towards the inside of the house. And how they slept was the father would sleep in front of the door for obvious reasons, right? Then you would have the kids, and then the mother sleeps at the end. So when this person came to knock on the door and ask for a loaf of bread, when he said that my children are in bed with me, he was right. The door is already locked. Lights are out. It's not really a convenient thing. It is very inconvenient, right, for me to get up out of my bed right now because you didn't have the foresight to have something for your guests. So you want me to get up out of my bed, climb over all them kids in the dark, climb over my wife, go to the kitchen, stand the chance of waking them up, disturbing the entire family so that I can go get this loaf of bread, climb over them again, go to the door and give it to you. You know, you're asking me quite a bit. And the scripture goes on to say that, you know, even though he's a friend, right, you're not going to do it. But because of his persistence, what's those words you used? Audacity. Because this person has the audacity to ask, you'll do it. And the scripture goes on to say, well, you know, which of you who has a son or daughter, right, who asks for a bread is going to give a rock, right? Or you're going to give him a serpent. I mean, nobody really will do that, okay? Now, he kind of like hits us under the belt, so to speak, you know, a heart blow. He say, if you being evil know how to give good gifts. I mean, think about it. We're evil, but we still know how to give a good gift, right? Christmas is coming. We know how to give good gifts, right? Because we had the scripture, you know, you do unto others as you would have others do unto you. So I'm going to get a really good gift because I want a good gift. We know how to give good gifts. And if we know how to give a good gift, I mean, how does that compare to our Father in heaven? You see, God wants to give us a gift. But quite often what happens is that we get into the way of the gift giving. All right? Sometimes God says that, okay, Kenneth, I want to bless you. Not sometimes, quite a bit of times. Kenneth, I want to bless you. But what Kenneth does is what? Kenneth says, well, you know, I really don't see it happening that way. So let me help God. Right? I'm the only one that says stuff like that, right? You know, this is not really logical. Right? So we love to put logic in there. It really doesn't make any sense to me. So therefore, since it doesn't make sense to me, you know, God gave me a brain, and therefore I have the ability to use my brain. And because I have the ability to use my brain, what I'm going to do is I am going to help God. Because I have the ability to use my brain, I'm sure that God doesn't really want me to just sit back and do nothing. In some cases, that's what God is telling us to do. Last week, my wife, Lisa, the wife who you gave me, in her message, she brought up a very interesting point. You have this issue with Ishmael and Isaac. I always get all these names mixed up. Ishmael and Isaac. The birthright was supposed to go to the older one, correct? And then what happens is that Sarah decided that she's going to do something else. It was Sarah, right? Rebecca. I told you I don't remember the names, right? Rebecca decided to do something different. So she did this conniving thing that basically led the entire family into turmoil, right? She tried to do it on her own when it was as simple as switching the hands. God knows what he's doing, right? God knows. And you know, the interesting thing also is that he can do it. He's able. And quite often we forget that God is able. Also, we have the example of earlier in Genesis chapter 15. I'm going to read just a little bit of it. This is going to be the shortest message you've ever received. I try to keep my promises. So it says in chapter 15, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. And it goes on in verse 2 to say, but Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? Now, we know the story from there. God at that point told Abraham, okay, I will make you the father of many nations. And I could imagine Abraham asking, well, how big, how big? And God says, go count the stars. So Abraham went and he probably tried to count the stars and he got up to about 15, okay? And then he probably recognized that, you know, count the stars, really? God says, as many as the stars are, that's how I would number you, right? I will make you a big nation. In chapter 16, Abraham and Sarah, now they decided to do their own thing. Why? Because, you know, in my culture, spider, right? In my culture, you know, it's kind of weird because we do things differently, right? Now, Abraham probably is thinking, well, you know, I'm 99 years old, right? Things don't function the way they used to when I was younger. You all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Right? And Sarah is probably saying the same thing. Well, I got a few more folds, and, you know, things kind of going south, and I'm not really as young as I used to be. And in that culture that they came from, that God brought Abraham out of, I mean, it was a normal thing for a man to go and have relations with his wife's maidservants. We have kids in here. Okay. The New International Version that I was looking at when I was preparing this message says that Sarah told Abraham, well, there's Hagar, my maidservant. You can go sleep with her. And that always puzzles me, really. Why do we say sleep with? Ain't no sleeping going on, okay? If sleeping was going on, we got a problem, okay? So anyway, so she says, you can go sleep with her. And maybe that's what God is thinking about, because he made us, right? He made us male and female. He knew that we're going to come to this age where we have no more, nothing else to give. I'll leave it that way, right? We have nothing else to give. So therefore, God probably knows. So he's given us a brain. And in our culture, the way we've grown up, and sometimes culture gets into the way of Holy Spirit. Because in our culture, we say that, okay, we can go have sex. Sorry. Cover your ears, right? We can go have sex with this other woman, right? And it's okay. And that child now becomes our child. But we know what happened when you can take out your hand now, right? Because we know what happened, right? What happened to that family? But then the interesting thing is that in chapter 18, God visits them again. Now this time there are three of them, three beings. And God says, where's your wife? And he says, I will give you child. And what did she do? She laughed. God is just joshing. And God says, what? Said, no, I wasn't laughing. Like, God doesn't know, right? And I wasn't laughing. Right. Really? God of this universe told Sarah she's going to get a child. And he even told her when. He says, I will come back 1 year from today, and you will have child. Now, this actually happened 11 years after God gave the first promise, because we know that, Ishmael was 12 years old when the child was born, correct? So 1 year before that would make it 11. Is my math okay? Yes. All right. So 11 years later, God came and he said, you have one more year to go. Now my question is, God, why do you take so long? I mean, you could have done it when I was 99 minus 89. You could have done that when I was 89 years old, right? If you're really God. Because, you know, things don't work as they used to. I'm past child-rearing age, even at 89. Why are you waiting till 99 and 100 years old to give me a child? You playing tricks on me? Because we all ask those questions. What's going on? I thought you promised God that this is what we're going to be doing, right? I thought you promised me this. But the thing is this, that we tend to look at these promises and we hold on to the promises, which we need to. But then the question is, why? Why does God wait so long? And I don't know. I really don't know. But I suspect, right? And as I was preparing this message, I just sat back and I started to laugh. I said, God, is it possible that you're just trying to show off? Right? We know, right? God is probably saying, well, I know you're 89 years old, Abraham. I know you're 99 years old. And I know that you're way past your childbearing age. You know, just like, who's this dude that God raised from the dead? I was asking the kids, okay? Lazarus, right? Just like God raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus, same thing. How long after Lazarus died did God raise him from the dead? How long? Hint? 3 days. He waited until he was good and dead. So nobody could say, well, he wasn't actually really dead, you know. There's this plant with a drug in it that if you give it to them, then the pulse will become so low that you really don't, you really can't feel the pulse. And sometimes people under this drug, they could be mistaken for dead. So therefore, you know, no, God wanted to make sure that people know he was dead, right? Sorry, in this modern world, we don't say dead, we say passed on and moved on yonder and gone to another place and happy hunting ground and things like that, right? So God wanted to be sure that people knew that he was dead, right? Why? So that God can show up and show out, okay? God wants to show up and show out. He wants us to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he exists and that the only person that is capable of bringing you out of way of the mud that you're in right now is him.
Amen. Amen.
So it's like, I don't know, but maybe that's a reason why God waits. You see, God wants to bless us. And sometimes we get into the way, like Abraham and Sarah did here. They got into the way. Because in Genesis 21, it says that now the Lord was gracious to Sarah. Right? As he had said. As he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Did God make you a promise?
Yes,
he did. Right? He said that God was gracious. And God did what he said, and he did as he had promised. And Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. It's almost as though he's rubbing it in here, in his old age. He didn't say, he bore a son to Abraham. No, he specified a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time that God had promised. So God came through. He did exactly what he said when he did it. But in the meantime, you see, it's like we know the beginning of the story and the end of the story. The middle, we try to fill in. Right? And all I'm saying is, you know, in your life, are you trying to fill in the middle? Because God is trying to bless. Right? You see, the message, and I'm really short here today, right? The message is, take God at his word. God said he will do it, he will do it, right? So we all know what happened with Abraham. Right, Abraham's kids, Isaac and Ishmael, to this very day, they're fighting. Right, to this very day, they're at each other's throats. Right, you talk about a family squabble. Right, so what I'm saying is take God as its word. We had the same issue with Jacob on Esau. Take God as its word. Luke 11:13 says that God wants to give us a gift. He said he will give us a gift, but what must happen first? We got to allow him. We got to allow the gift to happen, right? You see, we tend to get into the way of the blessings. And what it says is, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you would find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks on the door, it will be opened. Which of you fathers, mothers, if your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead. Or if he asks for eggs, you'd give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you a gift? What is the gift that God wants to give? Because when we think about, gifts, you know, in this Western world, we tend to think about, I've got to get that 75-inch flat bears coming up. I have to learn to start cheering for the bears, right? The bears are coming up, and we got to get that 75-inch flat-screen TV. I wish I can get that as a gift. Or the new car. Piece of jewelry, you know. We tend to look for the physical. When we hear about a blessing from God, the first thing that comes to our mind is financial. But God here wants to give us a blessing that's even better than that financial. It says here, how much more will the Father give us His Holy Spirit? Right? And I submit to you that the Holy Spirit is probably the best gift that we can receive, right? Because look at all the things the Holy Spirit does, right? Are we looking for a comforter? Jeremiah 8, verse 18. Holy Spirit is a comforter. Are we looking for a counselor? Yes. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Are we looking for a deliverer? Yes. Psalms 140, verse 7. Job 16, verse 19 says, He is my advocate. Isaiah 64, verse 8 says, He is my father. Psalms 18 says, God avenges me. Psalms 48 says, He's my guide. Psalms 33 says, He's my help. Hebrews 4, my great high priest. Psalm 71, my hope. 2 Timothy 4, my righteous judge. 2 Chronicles 13, my leader. John 8, light of my life. Daniel 9, the most holy. Isaiah 9, prince of peace. Psalms 46, He is my hiding place and my strength. We begin to get the picture? Okay, so we're going to paint the picture more. Psalms 42, my Savior. Luke 2, Sovereign Lord. 2 Samuel 22 is my support. John 6, Bread of Life. Psalm 71, Confidence. Psalm 68, Defender of the Widows. Revelation 19, He's the faithful and the true. Right? 2 Corinthians 1, God of all comfort. Psalms 51, God who saves me. Ephesians 5, Head of the Church. Psalms 31, Hiding Place. What else do we want? What other gift can we want? Here's some more gifts. Exodus 34, He is jealous over us. Ain't nobody going to touch God's people, right? 1 Timothy 6, King of Kings. Colossians 3, Your life. Job 16, My friend, do I need to go on? Okay, I'll go on. 1 Timothy 2, Holy Spirit is the mediator. Ephesians 2, our peace. Psalms 19, my redeemer. Psalms 18, my stronghold. Mark 10, good teacher. John 10, good shepherd. Exodus 15, my salvation. 1 Timothy 6, the Lord of lords. Genesis 17, God Almighty. What other gift do we need? Can that compare to a flat screen TV?
No.
Can that compare to the new car?
No.
Can that compare to anything? No.
No.
This is the gift God wants to give. Holy Spirit, don't get into God's way. God is able to give you that gift. All we have to do is to step out of the way and allow it to happen. But what happens is that we keep trying to use our own thing, right? We try to use our own knowledge, our own technology, our own logic, right? We all educated people, right? We smart, right? But what happens is that God says that, you know what? Your wisdom isn't kind of compared to anything that I got, right? And I got for you Holy Spirit. And there's no way that Holy Spirit is subservient to anything else. I got the perfect gift for you. And the perfect gift I have for you is me, right? That's the gift that God has for you. He has me, right? And you know what? He can give you the gift. He's given you the gift, right? Because He loves you. And God is able. Is anyone in here doubt that? If you believe that God is able, let me hear it. God is able.
God is able.
Right. And repeat this after me. God is able to do everything he said he will do.
God is able.
And you're right. Because God is able to do just what he said he will do. He's gonna fulfill every promise in you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. Sing it with me. God is able to do just what he said he will do. He's gonna fulfill. He's gonna fulfill every promise. Every promise to you. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. God, thank you. We know, great God, that you're able, to perform all wondrous works. You've done it before, and you'll do it again, and you're doing it right now. So we praise you, we honor you, and we thank you, great God, for everything that you're doing in the lives of your people. Stir up, great God in heaven, this spirit. Stir up, great God, and give us power. Give us strength. Give us, fulfill in us your promise, great God in heaven, of making a mighty nation. So we thank you, great God, and we honor you and we praise you in the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Is God able?